Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. We're back.
That's never going to get old.
That's a pretty decent volume where I don't think they're going to jump.
Well, now we're just ready for it, so we just do the nice easy intro now. But
so here's the deal: is we're building up a little bit of followers, and our listenings are going up, so they got to be like kind of expecting these things now.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but. It is good to be with you guys. We are on episode 16, titled Revelation. But, no, not that one.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. So this revelation that we'll be talking tonight is not the revelation most people think of when you hear a Christian podcast that is talking about Revelation.
Revelation. So funny story, when I proposed that we talk about Revelation, you actually went to the one that we're not talking about when you were thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I was ready. I'm doing my Sunday school class on that revelation.
On that revelation. So,
well, so I was like, oh yeah, I can talk about this for an hour, no problem.
And you can talk about this one for an hour, no problem too.
Oh yeah, I think as we were walking out, you said, oh yeah, we're going to talk about Romans 1, and I went, what? Wait a minute.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What's that have to do with Revelation?
So we have a we kind of have a two-parter coming your way. So
yes,
Revelation today we are talking about general and special revelation, specifically how God reveals Himself to humanity. So that's what we're talking about today. And then in 2 weeks we are going to talk about Revelation, the book of Revelation, and our eschatology and end times, which will then get us into another topic down the road that we're getting in on.
Yep, we think we have a nice little chain planned out.
Yeah. So we don't have to scramble for some topics for a little bit. Yeah, we're set.
Well, the golden chain's already taken. So what do we call this? Like the ruby chain or the
something? Yeah, we can say ruby chain,
platinum chain,
Yeah. And it goes as long as we want it to.
Yeah.
So there probably has to be some kind of correlation between them, if it's a chain.
Yes. So I think we can I can get at least three of them. I think
we'll you can get three. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, sounds good. So we're here with you. Today's word is revelation. No, not that one. General and special revelation. How God reveals Himself to us, which is very important. So let's define some terms here. So we're talking about how God reveals Himself. It's most of the time categorized into two different ways that God has revealed: general revelation and special revelation.
Yes.
Take a minute to explain what general revelation is, what special revelation is, the difference, and then we're going to kind of work it out together.
Yeah. So the way I will describe it is general revelation is something that is available to everybody.
Whole world.
Yes. And special revelation, it may be widespread. There may be a lot of people that get it, but it's not available to everybody. You have to have a special incidents or action to bring it to you outside of your general experience.
Right.
So the I'll kind of compare this sometimes with when we talk about common grace and special grace as well. And we'll talk about that a little bit, that general revelation is a component of common grace. Common grace is grace that God provides to everybody.
Everybody, right.
With the rain falling on the just and the unjust, as it talks about in Matthew 5:45, everybody gets these blessings of the rainfall, enjoying a good dinner, having these governments that God has put in place to restrain evil. These are all things that everybody can enjoy,
both believer and non-believer.
Yes. As opposed to special grace. Now, you as a believer would have special grace.
Right.
So being part of the church, you're going to have access to means of God's grace that a non-believer will not.
Right.
And so the way I would kind of define it is you can think about an Israelite priest versus a Canaanite high priest.
Uh-huh.
An Israelite high priest would have special as well as general grace. Mm-hmm. The Canaanite is just going to have the general.
General, right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when we talk about what is being, going back to shifting from grace or grace to revelation,
yes.
What is being revealed is, would you say, who God is, his attributes?
Right, yeah. What do we know about God?
What do we know about God?
And so, yeah, general revelation is what do we naturally know about God?
Right,
what is
that's every, a good, right.
Yeah. Yeah. What, and then special revelation is what can be known about God specifically.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, that's a good way to put it. So let's start with general revelation. It is available to everyone. The wicked and the righteous, sinner, well, we're all sinners, but saved and non-saved. So
yes.
A good place to go is Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, oh yeah, if you're talking about general revelation, yes, that's a good
listeners, universe. this is a habit happened, him switching words around. It's well, was it sanctification, justification? We kept switching around that one time.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, rabbit trail, but anyways, yes.
Still, I still have that problem. That's an ongoing problem.
Yeah. Romans 1, though, this is your, I mean, if you're going to talk about general revelation, this is where you have to go.
Yes.
So I'm going to read it for us, and I'm reading out of the 84 NIV. But Romans chapter 1, what this is saying, as we preface it, is this answers the question, Brad, why are all people accountable mm-hmm. For knowing or not knowing Christ as their Savior, right? Because mm-hmm. Many use the arguments of access to different things, different growing up in a Christian home, you know, and to be honest, I have much more access to the Christian faith than others do, you
sure.
know. But we're equally accountable, and the answer to that, the why, is in Romans chapter 1. So let me read Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. All right, so there we see an accountability.
Yes.
But it goes on even more. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that man is without excuse.
Yeah, and I... Yeah. As always, you can't say it any better than that.
You,
so.
You can't. I sometimes, I think we may have been talking about this last time. If you want to present the gospel perfectly, read the Bible, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just
exactly.
Read it word for word. But this is really good. So just kind of walking through, in verse 19, it says that all mankind, that God has been made plain to them, and the primary mode of this is creation. So
yes.
He's, you know, through all that God has yeah. made, so that man is without excuse.
Yeah.
So,
and,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's what this is saying, is that every single person has this understanding.
Right.
This is actually, if any of our listeners have been part of my, like, apologetics classes that I've done in the case, mm-hmm. When I talk about...
KACE, our Kingdom Advancing Christian Education.
Yes, yeah, sort of our supplemental Sunday school, but we did it Sunday evening instead.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were talking about the different methods of evangelism mm-hmm. And apologetics, which is making an explanation for your faith. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you go about sharing your faith? And this verse is kind of the bedrock of the method that I would prefer, which is called presuppositional apologetics.
Yep.
And so the idea is that everybody has this knowledge that God exists. You're not trying to give them enough information. They'll need information, and we'll get to that in a second. And that information that you give them is the special revelation. Mm-hmm. But with this general revelation, it talks about there in Romans 1, everybody knows God's power mm-hmm. And his holiness, but they suppress the truth.
Right.
They say, I don't like that. I'm going to suppress it. I'm
sure.
going to, I know that there is a God, but I'm going to worship something else that mm-hmm. I can control a little bit better.
Sure. How would you explain the atheist who says that they don't know there's, and not just that they don't know there's a God, but there absolutely is no God? I guess we could point to different things to prove them wrong.
Yeah, and so this is probably we should keep this probably to go really in depth for another podcast, because I think I could probably go on an hour on this one.
Sure. Yeah.
But basically, you can go and show them we live in God's world and we have to play by God's rules.
Sure. Right.
And you can show that with an atheist who is trying to deny God. Mm-hmm. That they will still follow these rules that are set down in the Bible. They can't help it.
Right.
Parts of the, and it kind of comes back to this common grace too, these good things that God has given us. So things like logic and reason, the ability mm-hmm. to use those and mm-hmm. have those available. Those are available to everybody.
Right.
Atheists will really be, they tend to kind of try to use that as a hallmark of their personalities a lot of time. And they say, you know, their belief system is the logical one.
Sure.
But God's the foundation for logic. Mm-hmm. And if when you poke at that foundation, or the presuppositions, which is why it's called presuppositional.
Right, right.
They don't have any choice but to play by God's rules. They just can't get away from it.
Sure.
So, example is, you might hear somebody say, a question. We've talked before about the problem of evil. If an atheist comes to you and says, "Well, God can't exist because there's evil in the world." Mm-hmm. You ask him, "Well, what do you mean by evil?"
Right, right, exactly. What's
yeah.
your so, standard?
Yeah, you have to have the standard.
Evil, right.
And a lot of times you'll get something like, "Well, there are no absolutes in this world.
Are you absolutely
You can't know
sure?
anything for sure." It's like, "Are you absolutely sure about that?" but that's the only thing. Are you sure that that's the only thing?
Right.
So, it goes down this,
you just keep going
pathway,
with that.
So.
Yeah.
There's some nuance to it too, but yeah basically it's the idea that God gives this to everybody. These are the foundational things that the world is built on, mm-hmm. and they are good. We benefit from having these things like logic and reason, mm-hmm. the laws of nature, we can trust that the sun will come up every morning, but the only way you can trust that is we trusting in the Creator who sustains that.
Sure.
Otherwise, you have no reason to believe that it will.
Sure. Yeah. Side note, that's great. And presuppositional is great. I've sat down and you've talked a little bit about it. How what you're doing is you're tearing down. Basically, they're illogical worldviews and building up the right one, right?
Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's why it's so effective.
Yeah, you're showing him where they're being inconsistent.
Right. Right. Inconsistencies, loophole, all those things.
Because if you're going to be making any sort of rhetorical argument, you're going to have to steal from the Christian
sure.
worldview.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say that this holds true across all. It's not just atheists. Mm-hmm. It's agnostics. It's other religions, mm-hmm. The same principle is taken all the way across.
Yep.
But anyways, we're...
That's good. Yeah,
that would be a good... we need to keep that for its own podcast, but
what's that one titled? Presupposition?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
We'll have that one.
Remember, we've got some others lined up, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
This is kind of off topic. A really great quote I saw, because you were talking about how we can count on the sun to rise every day, right? That's not mm-hmm. that's not something we're worried about. I mean,
yeah.
The clouds might cover it, but we're not, we know the sun's there. But for the Christian, I just want to add this little encouragement, though, that it is, we have a bigger hope that one day we will be with him in heaven forever than the sun rising. Like, we're so confident that the sun rises, but for the Christian, we have even more confidence that we're going to be with him forever. And so that's just kind of a side thing, but I always thought that was a great, great deal, because God could come back tomorrow, and all. But just a little tidbit for you. So, creation... life, humanity is evidence of God.
Yes.
We both have kids. I've got a 4-month-old, and I have almost a 6-year-old and my 4-month-old. We just kind of did the whole ultrasound process, right? You see the process of life being formed.
Yeah, isn't that so cool?
It's absolutely amazing. And everything that has to go right, and there's no way that we're just an object of chance or things coming together. We have a divine creator who is knitting together in the womb. I mean, how can you say there is no God by looking at just life itself?
Oh, yeah. That would be a fun one, too. We should do an evolution one. There's some, and I have some good lectures that I've listened to that really point out some good stuff on that. But yeah, you're not wrong. When my first my oldest was in utero still. I was actually in residency, and so we were able to kind of sneak in every night.
You had some access, didn't
and,
you?
Yeah,
man?
I was, so we would use the ultrasound like about once a week, and so I have her documented from about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. Did you catch the heartbeat at 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I think it might have been 8 weeks
when
I finally caught it. It was either 6 or 8.
Uh-huh.
But it's really neat because you can see the progression, and I think it was 10 weeks. You could see her sitting up and looking at the ultrasound and it was neat.
That's just absolutely incredible. So all those things, we are just without excuse.
Yeah,
it is plainly seen, and so that's a beautiful one. So I'm gonna go to Acts 17. Mm-hmm. I know you have it pulled up. So this is a great example of both. General revelation and special revelation. This is when Paul is in Athens, so it's a little farther in. But basically, what we have here is Paul goes to Athens in Acts chapter 17, and he sees a bunch of idols, right, statues to, mm-hmm. to different gods. But he comes to a peculiar one. Mm-hmm. There's the statue. I don't think it really describes what it looked like, but there's a statue, and it's titled to the unknown god.
Yeah.
The people in Athens, as many gods as they had, they still recognize within creation there is some type of divine being. There is something that we're missing. We don't know who he is, but we're going to make an idol to him because we know there's something. I mean, that's a great picture of general revelation.
Yeah, that's a perfect picture of the Athenians at this point. You know, they had plenty of gods.
Oh man, no shortage of gods.
Yeah, but they still made one. Realizing that, hey, all of this pantheon of gods that mm-hmm. we've made, it's not enough.
Right.
And so they, like you said, they put up this idol saying, ugh, well, we know there's something else, but we don't know what.
Right.
And to an extent, we would say the Romans 1 says, well, they kind of did know,
mm-hmm.
But they were suppressing a lot of that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, when the Bible talks about none seek him. None will come after. And I butchered that verse. But
I know. There's no one who seeks God. No one who understands.
Yeah.
Is that Romans 9?
Ugh.
Romans something.
No, I don't think it's Romans 9.
Romans something, right? Romans.
Probably.
Here, my page is ruffling while he keeps talking.
Yeah.
Romans 3.
Romans 3. Yeah, that sounds right.
There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God.
Yeah. So these Athenians didn't want to actually go and seek this God.
Uh-huh.
They just wanted to throw up an idol. And so they could keep doing whatever they would normally
sure.
do. And hey, maybe this will appease this God.
Sure.
But we don't actually want to go figure out who this God is.
Right.
You can see that suppression
right.
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a perfect, the general revelation of they had this understanding, they knew there was something else,
mm-hmm.
but they still ran from what that implication was.
Yes. And the important, Brad, is they are equally accountable
yes.
for not accepting him as the one true God of the universe.
Yeah, and this was, you know, this comes into a difficult question that a lot of people have a hard answer with, is you know, what happens to, you know, somebody who has never heard the gospel their
right.
entire life.
It's a hard question.
Yeah,
it is.
After Jesus is resurrected, you first have the gospel to start going out.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd have to double check my timeline, but you have how long is it until the gospel makes it to North America, where you have the Incans, the Mayans, the Aztecs,
mm-hmm.
Whole societies of people that didn't have a lick of the gospel
right.
at that point, and what happened to them. And we would say they stood in their guilt before God.
They did.
Because they were not dressed in the cleansing blood of
right.
Jesus.
Absolutely. And I know that's hard. It makes our stomach turn.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the emotional side of us. But we also got to know that God is sovereign, you know, worthy of all of our praise and worship. And and again, even their detestable sacrifices are two elements of nature, the sun god, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, there's that general revelation. They saw some form of deity, and obviously their worship was misdirected and all, but without excuse.
Yeah.
So.
You're exactly right. That's just such a perfect picture of here is this general revelation. that it talks about in Romans 1, where they recognize this power, mm-hmm. But then here's also them suppressing it,
right. Because, and misusing it too.
Yeah, we're gonna throw up an idol, yeah. And then we'll ignore it, mm-hmm. Because we when we talk about the Greek gods and the gods they worshipped in Athens, we don't talk about the unknown God.
Right.
They were just trying to throw something out there. The listeners cannot see me gesturing here. But.
He is gesturing. And by the way, we're going to upgrade to a video podcast sometime. So they're going to get faces to our beautiful voices, and then they're going to be able to see all your gestures. So, but yeah. And again, putting up an idol and just saying unknown God is not enough. You know, the only way that we survive this judgment of accountability is having a saving relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Which leads us to into special revelation. Now, Paul, that Acts 17 is so good for both general and special revelation, because you see the general revelation and the idol to the unknown God. But then Paul says, this unknown God that you have, I know who he is,
yeah.
and I'm going to tell you about him.
Yeah.
So then now you have special revelation.
Here comes the special revelation.
So really, their accountability even increased, you know, even more. But yeah. So that's a good one for special, where it is a specific knowledge of God available to some.
Yes. So, yeah, not everybody is going to have access to this.
Right.
Now, it may be very widespread. So we were discussing this before. You talked about how the Bible is very widely available,
right.
Especially in the United States at this point. Mm-hmm. But, not necessarily in Saudi Arabia,
sure.
or Afghanistan or North Korea,
right. and that just acts like there's many places where there's no language for the Bible, in other places too.
Yeah, I know there are a couple at least uncontacted societies, mm-hmm. in the world still. Mm-hmm. I think there's one off the coast of India.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah,
yeah, where no outsiders have gone into there, mm-hmm. Those areas yet, we're kind of getting back into the we're going back into general a little bit,
sure.
Because we would say that they still have the general, but yeah, these are ones that have not received the special
right.
yet. We kind of split the special revelation up into the three different parts,
right? Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to tie this all together,
because
this motivates the church and Christians,
yeah.
in an incredible way. So we talking about special revelation, we kind of looked at the different time periods in history.
Yeah. I don't think we meant to, but it kind of just happened.
It just kind of happened.
Like, that's actually how
we're going to say it's planned, because it's going to make us sound really smart. But we kind of looked at Old Testament period, mm-hmm. and then time of Christ.
Intertestamental, yeah. Yeah,
intertestamental period.
Well, I know. It would be New Testament still.
Right.
The gospel, or the incarnation. The incarnation.
Incarnation.
Every name I'm trying to do is wrong. So ignore everything I just said, listeners. That was dumb and wrong.
Starting over, yes. The Old Testament, we're going to talk about, we'll wind all that, Old Testament and then the Incarnation and then New Testament, which is our period now.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about the Old Testament. What was one of the primary ways of special revelation in the Old Testament?
So really your primary way is you're going to have direct communication with God.
Right, dreams and things like that. Appearing?
Angels appearing would be, and prophets.
Prophets.
Probably the biggest one.
Right,
where God had prophets that were used to speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
When God wanted to tell David that he was not pleased with him for what had happened with Bathsheba and Uriah.
Good old Nathan came in.
Yeah, God didn't send him a letter.
Right.
He didn't send an angel that time. He sent a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And these prophets were the ones that were, prophets and judges were the people that were leading the people of Israel mm-hmm. along the way.
And I love, it was never, this is what I say or these are my words. This is what God said. The word of the Lord says this. I mean, they weren't, and they were speaking directly what God had told them to say. It's not like what they're speaking are the words of God on his behalf. So special revelation right there. So you don't have to guess. There's no guesswork. This is what God says.
Yeah, and if you read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there's very steep penalties for if you're going to be a prophet, you mm-hmm. better there are ways to test a prophet, and you better meet them if you're going to claim the title of prophet.
Absolutely, right, because they are relaying God's words.
Yeah.
Or not relaying God's words.
Yeah, and yeah, if you are saying that your message comes from God when it does not, there are heavy penalties associated with that.
And so we would say the nation of Israel had much special revelation.
Yes.
The nation of Canaan, general revelation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they are there any instances of special? I'm trying to think.
So I would say their interactions with the Israelites are a type of special revelation.
I can see that, yeah.
You know, your... you know, your Native Americans or your Chinese at that point, you know, they would not have the special revelation that would come with interacting with Israel, whose God was going before her. So they're getting some special revelation in that instance, but before Israel gets there, God has already said these people in this land are guilty. They are doing these abominations,
right.
And he lists it off, and it's things like you know, things like child sacrifice,
right.
And
many sexual
sins, homosexuality,
and stuff.
There's a list of them. He calls them the word is toiva, which is Hebrew for it means abomination. Mm-hmm. It's how it's translated.
Not a light word.
Yeah, and it talks about how because they're doing these evil things, the land is going to spew them out, and so. This is a good example where, you know, this is before Jesus, this is before the gospel. This is still a reflection of when Paul's talking about that everybody knows this and you're going to be held accountable for this. These people didn't have the Hebrew scriptures, they didn't have prophets coming to them, but God is basically saying they know this is wrong, and they are evil beyond measure,
right.
And you're going to be judged for it.
Right, absolutely. So those are sort of big ways of, any other special that I'm trying to think as far as Old Testament, those are your main ones, you know, I think.
Yeah. So, what, you know, things like when you have God speaking directly to Abraham, you know, the angel coming to Daniel and revealing prophecy that way. So Daniel got the special revelation from the angel.
Right.
And then the special revelation was given to you know, the different people. So, you know, there was one that was given specifically to Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
You know, and others that were a little bit more general to, like, the people of Israel.
Yeah.
Too. But, yeah, I think those would be... from God himself, angels and prophets. You would still have the scriptures. So, you know, they would have the scroll of the law. And then the further you get, the later you get into the Old Testament period, the more written options you're going to have.
And we even talked about how our accountability has gone up at the having access to the whole Bible.
Yeah.
You know, through time, how. They were still accountable, but we have the whole Bible pieced together now. It ups our accountability. So we talked a little bit about that at lunch.
Yeah. You want to know a neat story. So this is kind of on the other end. So we've talked about like this, you know, this judgment that's there for these groups that never had never got the gospel. On the other end, it was a neat story about there was a, it was basically a little village in Africa, and the only piece of the gospel they had was they had a page from a they had one page from a commentary of Mark.
Oh wow!
I think is what it was. I think it was Mark.
Uh huh.
And they had set up their church around it, and were when you know, some more some missionaries finally got there and kind of, you know, went in to see what was, you know, to kind of help them along. They had really set up a pretty good church, and, you know, it wasn't
from a commentary.
Not even a commentary, a page of a commentary.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And so, you know, it really shows what God can do with, you know, really nothing. At that
right,
point.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
No, it didn't mean that they, you know, as the you know, missionaries came and gave them more and better revelation, that they were going to be able to improve a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
So
that's a great story.
Cool. I think that's so neat that, you know, God can work in the hearts of these people with nothing but one page of a commentary
of
incredible. The gospel.
Yeah, that's incredible. There's nothing that God can't do, you know, it's just incredible. So let's move on to the incarnation. So Old Testament, we use what we kept, if you notice kind of what we were talking about, we kept saying from God himself. So the prophets were speaking from God himself.
Yeah.
And then you get the incarnation. Take the from out of that. It's God himself in the flesh.
This is nothing.
The greatest act of special revelation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
bar none, hands down.
Here's God.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
Yeah.
John 1's a good place to go for this.
Yeah. And I sometimes think, like, I can't imagine being a disciple and walking and traveling with Jesus and listening to him talk for, you know, we think it's around 3 years, probably.
Yep.
But I just, you know, just the small pictures of the sermons that we have that he's done. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, pretty much everyone considers it to be the greatest sermon ever told. And that's just one sermon. Jesus, probably every single one of these that he did was, he was spitting out fire nonstop.
Right. Man, like pastors, we always hope we have a couple home runs throughout the year, right? Just a really good sermon. When we feel good about it, we kind of call it a home run. Jesus, grand slams every day. Every moment, just incredible stuff.
Yeah.
So this is God himself. And he goes into the temple, pulls out Isaiah, and claims, I am the promised one coming. I am the one fulfilling all this.
Yeah.
How more, you know, how much more proof do you need that God is God?
Yeah. And
than
you,
that?
Yeah, you even kind of get a little bit of a microcosm there of even within, God's people in Israel at that point, Jesus, who had this special revelation in the scriptures, the scroll of Isaiah,
right.
Jesus walks in, opens up the scroll, and gives them further special revelation.
Right.
They didn't understand some of these words we're referring to, the Messiah, and Jesus goes through them and points them and says, this is me.
Didn't they try to run him out after that?
They tried.
Oh, man. I've always wondered, and again, they're just rejecting, but seeing him in the flesh and rejecting that, you know, that just...
Yeah, and it, you know, goes back to Romans 1.
Right.
You have God sitting in front of you.
Oh, man.
Reading a scroll that he sent to you,
right,
saying, this is me,
uh-huh,
and the people reject it. They suppress that truth. They say, I will not believe this, and I won't have this.
Right. And can I just read verses 18 and 19 from Romans 1 again?
Because
this is exactly what happened. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. So God made it plain to them, and now they are due the wrath of God because they suppressed the truth from their wickedness.
Yeah.
So
you know, you look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the law, knew the scriptures better than almost anyone.
Right.
And they kind of had questions like, "Oh, is Jesus the Messiah?" Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because he didn't fit the prophecies that they decided he wasn't the Messiah. It's because he called them out on their wickedness and things that they were doing that were not of God. And at that point, they suppressed that any inclination they would have that he would be the Messiah, and they looked to kill him.
And we've talked before, he looks them straight in the eyes and says, you are not my sheep.
The sheep, yeah.
You know, from suppressing that, so.
Yeah.
So incarnation, huge.
Yes.
Special revelation, huge.
And,
I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, the great apologetic for the reality of the resurrection.
Yeah.
I would say, so incarnation for sure, but even Christ post-mortem, I mean, coming out of the grave after and showing himself.
Right.
And I think it said that over 500 people saw him, most of who are living today. Paul basically is saying, you don't believe me, go ask people.
That's some pretty good special revelation.
Right? I mean, so great stuff.
Yeah. So, that's an example of a special revelation because not everybody in the world is going to have access to that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be available to a certain number of people in a certain place.
Right. New Testament time. Christ ascends into heaven and he's sitting on his throne to come back again, but there's a period in between.
Mm-hmm.
What's our mode of special revelation now, Brad?
At this point, we would say that it is, we would consider it the closed canon of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where... I would take the stand on this that the 66 books of the Bible, that is what the message is, that it is complete and sufficient to provide all holiness and theological knowledge at this point.
Right.
That's when we get to Matthew 28, which is the Great Commission,
mm-hmm.
Where we're commanded to go out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And share the gospel, which is contained in the pages of Scripture, we would say.
Yeah, and when we say gospel, it could be the gospel preached, it could be the gospel read, you know. But the gospel is what Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, again, it's just perfect. It's just
right, I mean, you just can't argue with this stuff, right? Yeah. I mean,
yeah. This is why Romans is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I know I said that about Hebrews too. And Hebrews is also my favorite books of the Bible, but
we can have more than
Romans and Hebrews are just chef's kiss.
Yeah. Oh man. Hebrews definitely is way up there. I love Romans. Not dogging Romans, but man, I love Hebrews. I love 1 John too. That's also a good one. We love it all, right, man?
Yeah.
Even Numbers and Leviticus.
I get real excited about Numbers and Leviticus.
You might be in the smaller camp on that side.
You met me when you came to our small group and we were going through Leviticus.
That's right. You guys were going in Leviticus.
I was all about it. Mm-hmm. Habakkuk. I was shocked. I read the book of Habakkuk and I was like, this is great.
Great stuff.
Why does
nobody
preach on this?
It is true that we don't get a lot of Old Testament sermons. You get some, but but absolutely. So one of my goals, and I was a senior pastor for 3 years, but I was just, we were going through the Bible and I was highlighting every passage.
Yeah.
One of my heart's goal was to look back at that Bible at the end of ministry and every verse being highlighted just because you went through it. Now it's a big endeavor, but.
Yeah. I feel like you'd have to get creative at some point.
You would have to.
There's some Song of Solomon that I would be real interested in watching you preach that on a Sunday morning.
Oh man, we might dismiss Kids Church a little early before we start talking about that one.
All right, kids, good kids time. the gospel is
special. That's the way.
Yeah. The Bible is the word of God, mm-hmm. and that, so this is something you'll hear me say sometimes, is that God dictates the means as well as the ends.
Right.
I would say that God has complete control over who salvation will come to, and he controls how that is going to happen, mm-hmm. and he has decreed for a reason that is just beyond me that he's going to use, imperfect, fallible us.
That's incredible.
To carry this precious treasure throughout the world and change the world for his glory and to set up his kingdom.
Absolutely.
When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is like the yeast as it moves throughout the bread. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right now.
Yep.
It starts as just this mustard seed and it grows so that birds can nest in its branches. Mm-hmm. It's just neat to. We can look back and we have the benefit of seeing that growth from 12 guys in ancient Palestine, mm-hmm. To eventually overtaking the Roman Empire,
right?
To eventually worldwide, essentially, at this point.
Yeah, that's so incredible. And so, Christian, don't take this lightly. We have been entrusted with a great task. Don't abuse that. Don't neglect that. It's we can't answer the question as to why Brad and I have had more access to the Christian faith and the Bible than others. With that being said, though, it motivates us with Matthew 28 and the Great Commission to take that to the ends of the earth. I mean, that's what motivates us.
Yeah, it's not just on unbelievers who are going to have to account. Who give an account before God.
Right, yeah. We will have to give an account.
Yeah, and the more to whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely.
The parable of the talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it talks about if you're given more, you're expected to do more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're going to have to justify that before God. Mm-hmm. What's the verse where it talks about that what you build will be tested by fire?
Yep. I want to say that's in 1st Corinthians.
Is it Corinthians?
You keep the listeners.
Yes.
I was gonna get my phone. My phone's on the other end. There is a passage.
Yes.
And you might just have to Google this thing.
Yeah. Here.
You keep them occupied. I'm Googling.
So the passage that Tyler is looking up, it talks about basically how we as Christians are building. The work you are doing here on earth is building basically an offering to God. And this offering is going to be tested by fire. And it talks about that some of these will be gold and jewels and that they'll be refined by the fire and be all the more beautiful. But if you're building with straw or hay, they're going to be burned away. And it talks about, well, you'll still have your salvation, but what work are you going to have to show God after this?
I was fairly right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
So, okay.
Let me go to Let me start in verse 11 here. No, I'll tell you what. Let me start in verse 10, because this is good. And we got a couple minutes here. 1 Corinthians 3, start in verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. So we're not talking about a loss of salvation.
Right.
But he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Yeah.
So,
And I think that goes to show, so the more special revelation you have, mm-hmm. the more you're going to be held accountable for that. You and me have a lot more light than you think than our African village that just had one page of a commentary.
Of a commentary, right.
Yeah, right. And look what they did with that. Set up a really pretty decent church yep. with that. Mm-hmm. So how much better should the building that we are making, how mm-hmm. Be with all of the materials that God has given us?
Absolutely. And man, we want to come out of that fire with holding on to the things that God has given. Everything else will.
Yes.
It's going to be burned up. So, and again, this isn't a soteriological passage dealing
right.
with salvation.
Right. If you build everything with the straw and the wood and it gets burned away, you still have your salvation, but just as one who escaped through the flames instead of.
Right. And don't settle for just escaping the fires. Thrive. Be diligent. Work well. My heart wants to hear God say, "Well done."
And I'm not gonna lie. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine when people say, "Well, it's not a salvation issue, so it doesn't matter."
Oh, right.
Or I'm saved, so it doesn't matter anything after that. I think that is
it's a severely flawed worldview and faith. Yeah. Faith system.
Yeah. We've talked about just the special revelation that we've gotten and how, we've been given this grace that so many others have not. Mm-hmm. It should just make you fall down on your face and thank God and just motivate you to just do whatever you can to get this to every single person you can in the mm-hmm. best way possible.
Absolutely.
And to build just the most beautiful thing you can on the foundation of Christ Jesus.
I'm afraid we've grown complacent in so many of these things. Like here we have two open Bibles. Mm-hmm. You've got your phone open, and I could go tomorrow and buy another Bible. I could go to my office and pick up four more. And there are churches in North Korea where they hide their Bibles in a cave, mm-hmm. and they go and get it. They sneak it in. They read their Bible. They do their church service, and they sneak it back out.
Yeah.
I mean, they know the value of what they have.
Yeah, and I like to remind people, you're going to be in heaven with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to get up there and complain, it was too cold for me to go to church today. Well, our church got dynamited.
Right, exactly. So, our pastor was killed, jailed. I mean, just all those things.
Yeah, I think it's one of the helpful reasons to know church history, too, is to know.
Oh, man.
To know some of the people you're going to be up in heaven with and what you're going to be contending and what type of hardships
absolutely.
Christians in the past have had to go through.
Horrendous. So, Christian, if you're not going to church, go to church.
Yeah.
Get up and go to church.
I'm going to give our listeners some homework here.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
So this is a little bit of church history. One of the early church fathers named Cyprian. Mm-hmm. He writes a letter, and so it's called the, it's an epistle. This is not scripture, but it's an epistle to the saints in the mines.
Right. It's a historical document.
Yes. So this early church father Cyprian has written a letter to these Christians, that this is when the Roman Empire is heavily persecuting Christianity. These people have converted to Christianity, and they've been put into slavery in the mines to mine. And basically, this was a short, ugly punishment because you died here pretty quick.
Very quick, you died quick, yes.
And I think it's such a neat letter reading about, he was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Big pastor in this early church, and how he's talking to these people that are just, basically, it's conversion and instant death. And that how, you know, giving them encouragement, how much more encouragement can we take from it? So this would be, I would say this is some homework. Go up the epistle from Cyprian to the Christians in the mines.
Now, is that an S or a C?
C.
C.
C-Y-P-R-I-A-N.
Okay. That's great. So. Yeah. And just look, both Brad and I have a couple books that have the actual translations of documents from church history.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember reading some in seminary about the Romans writing back to each other, like, how can we persecute these Christians to get them to turn away from their faith? What can we do? We're out of options. And and they stayed strong, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so
and the letter's very short. So this is would be very short homework. It won't
hear
take
that
long
short
to read.
Yeah. Short homework.
Yeah.
So very, very well doable. And then guys, comment on it. Tell us how you feel about it, right?
Yeah.
Let us know if you have any questions on this and all. But
so
God has revealed himself. And there is also a nature of divine hiddenness that I wanted to say, that we don't know everything about God.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
That rightly so. What I would contend, what God wants us to know about him is available to us.
Yes, absolutely.
So, theology, that's why theology is so important. But yes. All right, guys. So that's Revelation.
Not that one.
Not that one. And we'll give you Revelation. Yes, that one.
Yes.
next time. But we hope this has been encouraging. We know that we've been crazy heavy the last couple times. I hope Temptation was a good one for you. If you haven't watched that one, this one too. I hope it's just a good one to encourage you.
Yeah, not an hour and a half one.
Though. Dude, we were getting long on some of those. And the funny thing is, we could have gone longer too. So.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, we love you guys, and we thank you for listening. We want to share this where you can. Let us know if there's things you want us to talk about. But we love doing this, don't we?
Yeah.
We enjoy this.
Yeah. So, yeah, listeners, be out there building on the foundation of Christ Jesus with your gold and your jewels. And
preach it, man.
Let us know how we can help you to have the better materials so
yep.
That you can stand proud of the work when you stand to give account before the Lord.
That's right. Stay strong. Get to church. And let's do this thing, right?
Amen.
All right, preach it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's good, guys. You guys have a good week. If you need anything, let us know. We're praying for you. Love you guys. We're signing off.
See you in a couple weeks.
Bye. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make him known. Blessings.